The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
Drive Time Sports, presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, your sports action hub with over 54 TVs so you don't miss out on the action, located at Woodman and I-25. The only place to hear talk about your teams.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs Sports Radio, Wheels.
Good Tuesday to you. Welcome to the show. Ryan and Chris coming your way from Security Service Field, home of the Colorado Springs Sky Sox and the sweetest video board ever. Wheels got to see it last night.
Yeah.
Now you and I get to see it for the first time today. It's gorgeous, and we are going to find out how it handles the rain, because
the tarp,
as we speak, is being put on to the field. Although we can't beat this view, we're up in the we're normally in the Not Your Father's Bar. There is an event going down there, so we got bumped up to the suites here at Security Service Field. I have been to the stadium,
yeah,
a lot.
Me too.
I have been in the locker room. I have been in the dugouts. I have been in the broadcast booth. I have been on the picnic terrace, all over this stadium. Never once have I been in a suite, and now I can say that I have.
It's a sweet suite, too.
It is a sweet suite.
Pretty cool,
suite.
Man, up here. I didn't even know this existed. Does anything that Will Parks is doing or saying give you pause for thought? Because it does me a little bit, because... Do you remember the old Von Miller?
Yes, I do remember the old Von Miller.
I feel like Mr. Parks could go down that road.
Well, what he said yesterday, like, the facts will come out, which is what you say if you believe that you are innocent.
Right.
And he says,
and I'm
I
not
just
even
let
throwing him under the bus for that. I'm just saying these little things. So, like, the court thing.
Oh, so you're saying
the
Snapchat.
And then the Twitter. Yeah, the Snapchat. And then, like... It's all these little things, and that's what Vaughn was. Like, Vaughn didn't, I don't even, well, he definitely didn't have a domestic violence, but he had some small court issues, mostly traffic. But it was just, more than anything, just immature type of stuff. That's all it was. And, you know, we can all say, you know, I was young once, and yeah, I've done some stupid things. But if Vaughn Miller is his mentor... And if you follow Will Parks on Snapchat, he very much tries to emulate what Von Miller is doing. Not quite on the budget of Von Miller. I don't think he flies overseas every week. But he very much is emulating Von Miller, and I think he needs to emulate the Von Miller of 2017. That would be the good version.
And we had this discussion yesterday while you were out. At what point is Will Parks not worth it? Because if you want to make the Von Miller analogy, one, Von Miller, as you said, didn't do anything near the level of what Will Parks is accused of.
Exactly.
Now, the charges are misdemeanors. So, but
domestic violence, even if it is a misdemeanor, puts it in a different category.
Right, I completely agree with you. I'm just trying to say that Von Miller... never did anything close to what Will Parks is accused of doing. But on the other hand, let's just say they both are doing stuff that is not shedding
a great
light.
Will Parks is nowhere near as good a player as Von Miller,
exactly.
And you will not put up with that kind of stuff from that guy. And really, who's better, Simmons or Parks? Like, if you had to pick
Simmons.
Right now. Thank you. And you're talking about extending Stewart?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think this guy, I mean, and I'm rooting for him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not throwing him under the bus in any way, but I think he needs to get his poop in a group. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, he said the facts will come out, and again, innocent till proven guilty, all that kind of stuff. So,
not
so
in
we'll
the media,
see.
Though.
We'll see. Right.
Media can do whatever.
Right. And being a you could be guilty of being a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at
hashtag Tim Tebow.
hashtag Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean,
would you have him on your team?
If I thought he could play, then yes, I would. I don't understand. I feel
I'm putting him in the exact same boat that people put Tim Tebow in. It's just the distraction piece.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say. We're not here to hash out which cause is more noble,
right,
Tebow's or Colin Kaepernick's, or what is worse, what Will Parks is doing or what Von Miller used to do. We're just putting a blanket over distractions.
Exactly. And especially with a new head coach, a new basically staff across the board, a bunch of great players already, especially on the defensive side. You don't need those distractions. Mm. Like, you don't. And you don't really need Will Parks as a player. Like, I can't imagine he's going to have much impact this year at all. Probably a lot like Roby did his second year. Like, you could use him, but if he was gone, it was all right.
We have the distinct pleasure of being joined by a member of the Sky Sox. Tristan Archer joins us. What did you guys think of that road trip?
You know, it started off, like you said, a little bumpy in Nashville, and we were able to come back to Oklahoma City and come away with 3 wins there, which I thought was really big.
How would you assess the way that you've been pitching over the last few games?
Yeah, you know, like you said, I had a bump in Nashville. I tried to put that behind me, leave that in the past, and just go back out and focus on what I do best, which I feel is keeping the ball in the strike zone and getting ground balls. That's what I feel like I've become best at. When I'm doing my best, I'm getting ground ball outs, early count outs.
So, Tristan, you talked about it, get past the bump, and I think really for young players, that's one of the hardest things to figure out is, you know, you guys play so often and you're going to have a bump here or there and not letting it drag on to the next game and the next game. What do you do? Do you just put it out of your mind or do you just focus on what you're doing? Because I think that part's really hard for young players.
Yeah, I definitely try and just not think about it
as
best as I can to just try and look back at what happened and what maybe I could have done better to maybe limit the damage a little better. And then from then on, just put it in the past and try not to think about it.
Yeah, because baseball's so weird. You can be out there, just make one bad pitch, and then that changes everything. And,
absolutely.
You know, it's interesting to watch.
And being a reliever, you got to have the shortest of short-term memories, no?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, because I could have very well been out there the next day and have to get right back out there and get people out.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the idea of being able to pitch every day, though, conceivably?
Absolutely. You know, I started out my career, college, and my first couple years as a starter, which I enjoyed, but after becoming a reliever, I think that's something I've come to enjoy more.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the chance of possibly throwing every day, with the exceptions of after throwing every day, you get a break sometimes.
Right.
Not every single day, but, you know. Mm-hmm. I like the chance of throwing more often and maybe not as long as opposed to every fifth day.
So, Tristan, we have one of the best relievers of all time on our airways. We've had him on like twice in the last month or so, Goose Gossage. And he talked about being a reliever, and it kind of fit his personality. Like you said, every day it's exciting. You might be able to go into the game. Do you think being a reliever, you can go into the game with a little bit more attitude? Because every fifth day, it's kind of like a process. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so, you know, because you're just sitting down in the bullpen,
right,
not knowing, you know, you hear the walkie-talkie click, and everybody's kind of, gets on edge for a second. Who's it going to be? And you hear your name. Got to get going quick. And, yeah, like you said, you can take that little more of an attitude out.
So you talked about the bullpen, and we were talking about this last week. Have you ever heard of the perfect sit in the bullpen?
Oh, yeah, I've definitely heard of that. Not so much in the bullpen, but in the dugout, like when I was a starter, guys would definitely try and do that.
Really?
Like on days they haven't. I think I pulled off one in my career in the minor leagues.
Really? I didn't even know that was a thing, man. That's what, like baseball, all these little things going on during a game you have no clue about.
Yeah, what else have you got? What other hijinks are you guys up to down that first baseline?
All kinds of stuff, I guess. You know, it just early on, it's a little more lax than the starters out there. You know, we watch the game, try and pick things up, watch the hitters, see how your stuff will play against them. And then, you know, there's always times where you goof off a little bit, I guess.
Just have fun.
Yeah.
Right, not goof like, off. Because, you know,
just enjoy it.
Rick Sweet's
have
watching.
Fun. Exactly. Right, you know.
Sky Sox pitcher Tristan Archer joining us here on Drive Time Sports. Now that you're at this level, do you start to think a little bit more about what's on the next step? Or is that something that you try to forcibly remove from your mind? How much are you thinking about Milwaukee?
You know, I just that's something I just try and keep. I don't try and think about that at all because, you know, I try and pitch the best I can and leave the rest up to up to everybody else.
When you see a guy like Paulo Espino, Brett Phillips just got called up yesterday, teammates of yours, how excited do you get to see those guys making it to the major leagues for the first time?
Oh, it's awesome to see that. You know, I mean, this has been the first team I've been a part of where somebody, a teammate, has been called up.
Mm.
And so it was really a cool experience, especially a guy like Espino who grinded it out for 10 years and finally getting that call. It was great to see because he's an incredible guy.
We were having this discussion last time we were out at Security Service Field because you guys were playing the baby cakes. First of all, no one was I tried to get Dan and Dan on the case. Nobody would do this. So I want to ask you, here's my theory. If you play for a team that's called the Baby Cakes, if somebody asks you who you play for, I bet you they say New Orleans. 9 times out of 10. I bet you they don't mention that they play for a team called the Baby Cakes.
I would say you're probably right there.
What would you say is the favorite team name that you have had in your career?
In high A, the Manatees.
Oh, yeah. Brevard County.
Yeah, definitely. You guys remind me about that earlier. having a little manatee swinging a bat on your hat is pretty funny.
Well, Tristan, it was awesome to have you up here. Hopefully we'll get some baseball in, and hopefully you'll be on the mound at some point tonight trying to shut it down for the Sky Sox. Really appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Survey taken by ESPN, they talked to 6 bookmakers in Vegas, and they asked them if you had to set a line or odds in a game between the 2017 Warriors and the 1996 Chicago Bulls, which team would you favor? 4 out of the 6 said the Warriors. Now, a couple of you have weighed in on the text line when it comes to that with the same question, both Ray and Jeff asking about the rule book. How will that game be officiated? So let me ask you, Chris, do you think if the game were officiated one way or the other, that would ultimately tip the scales?
Well, obviously back then, it was a much more physical game. They let them get away with a lot of stuff, and they don't really let that happen this year. I think that the Golden State Warriors is a team made up with enough good players that they could figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, the Bulls with Dennis Rodman, that's kind of what you look at. So I guess I don't think that it would matter. I think both teams are good enough to figure out ways to play. I think this is a tough discussion for me because we argued about the team last year and that Bulls team, and I don't think there's any way that the 73-win Golden State Warriors team beats that Bulls team. But this is a whole different animal with Kevin Durant on the team. And, yeah, I don't know what you do because – David Ramsey said it right. That Bulls team coming off the bench, the first guy was either Kerr or Harper. I mean, like, if you just look man for man talent wise, the Golden State Warriors starters and then the sixth man, if you're making Iguodala the first guy off the bench, it's hard to match up with that. But what makes the Bulls so interesting a matchup for them is two things: the historic closing of Michael Jordan, and what do you do with Dennis Rodman? Like, how much does Dennis Rodman get under the skin of the Golden State Warriors? Because if you're going man for man, you would have to go with Golden State.
Like, I feel like Draymond Green and Dennis Rodman would just start cup-checking each other up and down the court the entire time.
And I think Draymond Green would lose that battle big time. I think Dennis Rodman could get under the skin of Draymond Green, and he would be less of a factor. I just think, because Dennis Rodman, that was his game.
But, look.
And he didn't really care. He just did it anyway.
Right, that is an interesting fact. And you bring up, you think that Rodman would match up with Durant. And I disagree with that.
Okay, so who do you put him on?
I think you would have Jordan guarding Curry, and I think you would have Scottie Pippen on Kevin Durant. I don't think you would put Dennis Rodman on it. I don't, because here's my argument, and we'll get into are talking about is hand checks.
Right.
Right? That's what they're talking about. They're talking about hand checks being allowed back when Michael played, but not now. And
right.
also foul, they're a little bit quicker on the whistle when it just comes to contact of any kind. But let's take it why I think that the Warriors
would
be
favored.
I don't
think that's fair, but I understand what you're saying.
Why would you want Dennis Rodman coming out on the perimeter to guard Kevin Durant? Because here's where I think that the
I don't
Warriors,
know if he comes out there. I think
that's
I think
what I'm saying.
But I think also but I think that to. They wait into the key for him. And if Kevin Durant is hot shooting threes that night, then you just lose.
The Cavalier, like, let's look at game.
Because the
two.
Cavs just let Durant drive the lane at will. I don't know what they're doing. They've done it in both games.
Cavaliers outscore the Warriors in the paint.
Yes.
But here's the biggest frustration if you're a Cavs fan through two games. Every time you're taking a two-pointer and they're coming back and taking a three-pointer.
Right.
So why is there this belief that, oh, Durant and Curry and stuff wouldn't be able to make any shots in the paint because there would be more physicality? They don't want to go in the paint. They
right.
want to camp out 50 feet away from the basket and just chuck it up. So I
and
don't
Dennis
know.
Rodman could guard that. The only reason I put Rodman on him is because I just think who are the two best players
right.
on the team. So you got to cover Steph, you got to cover KD, and then you're hoping that Scottie can shut down Klay Thompson and guys like that. I mean, really down in the paint. Like, I like Draymond Green, but I don't put him on a pedestal like you do. I think there's guys on that that Bulls team that could handle Draymond Green. Now the rest of them, that's a whole nother story. That's where you get issues. Like, for me, Draymond Green, I think he's kind of a throwback from that
uh-huh.
era. I kind of consider him maybe like a Charles Oakley or someone like that. I don't think of him as like a potential Hall of Famer right now.
The discussion with these two teams, if you want to argue one side or the other, the Warriors in this complete hypothetical virtual reality world,
mm-hmm.
although NBA 2K17, you can play as both teams in exhibition mode and play
right.
each other. But in this more real but still very fake world, you would say that the Warriors have never faced a team as talented as the Bulls.
Right.
Because we both agree on this part.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavaliers are not a great team.
No.
They're not. LeBron is a great player. The Bulls were a great team.
Right. And I think Scottie Pippen doesn't get enough credit
right.
for what he did. Because not only did he produce, but he was able to live alongside Michael Jordan, whereas a lot of players wouldn't be able to do that.
Right. The Bulls were a great team in every sense of the word. Because they were uber talented, but they also fit
right.
really well with each other. Because you had the guys like Rodman who could not give a crap if he scored one basket
right.
the entire game. He didn't care. So they were a great team. So the Warriors would have never faced any team remotely as good as the Chicago Bulls. But here's the thing, and where I think that if I were to summarize why I would take the Warriors over them, the Bulls have never would have never seen a team that plays basketball the way that the Warriors do. Can we, if we agree that talent is almost a push, Jordan's better than anybody else on the court.
Right.
I like Durant slightly better than I like Scottie Pippen. I think Draymond Green's an all-around better player than Dennis Rodman, but not demonstrably better.
But I think on the defensive side and rebound, that's where Rodman gets him, because I think Draymond Green's a much better offensive player than
He's not as too shabby of a defensive player, but you're right.
Right.
So if you look at it, yes, there's Michael, and yes, we saw that in the finals. One of the greatest player of this generation. Let's at least say that, so we don't get into an MJ LeBron debate. The greatest player of this generation was able to defeat one of the greatest teams of this generation.
Right.
So there's always that. There's no peer on the Warriors to Michael Jordan, but Durant is more talented than Scottie Pippen. Draymond Green and Dennis Rodman is a push because one's better offensively, the other one better maybe on the defensive end a little bit. Longley and Zaza, who gives a crap? Klay Thompson is better than Kerr or Harper.
Yes.
But all told, it washes out. The talent washes out.
Right. But when you get to the bench is where the issue is, because here's the roster for the Bulls. They had Jason Caffey, James Edwards, I forgot about him, Randy Brown, Bushler, John Sally, Dickie Simpkins, Bill Weddington.
How deep do you go in a game? It's not like
seven.
Seven
probably
deep.
Seven deep in a finals game if it's competitive.
Depth is an issue. Bench is an issue.
Right.
But again, to me, it's the Warriors may have never faced the talent of the Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Teams have tried to bully them. Don't misunderstand. Teams have
right.
tried to bully the Warriors. I don't believe that the Bulls faced any team that even remotely plays basketball, moves the basketball, has the kind of range that the Golden State Warriors do. And for that reason, I believe, one, that the Warriors are a better team than that Bulls team. If I had one game, I would take the Warriors over the
Bulls. I had one game, it would be I would pick whatever team Michael's on. One game. Now, if we're talking a series, then you can't do that.
It's time for Crunch Time.
What is that?
It's crunch time. It's crunch time. It's crunch time.
It's National Drive-In Movie Day.
Nice.
So the question is, number one, did you ever used to go to the drive-ins? Because you're younger than me, and I would go to them when I was a kid. It was like a family thing. And then when I got in high school, it was a high school thing where we would lock like four of our buddies in the trunk, and we'd all get out once we got parked. So, number one, do you have any fun drive-in memories? And number two, do you think that the drive-in movie is something that, if we brought it back, would be successful? Because I think it would be. I think it would be something cool that people would go to if you updated the speakers and had like a cooler place to do it than some of the old ones.
Well, the first part of your question, I've maybe been to a drive-in movie theater two or three times in my entire life.
And you were a little kid every time?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever gone since I could, at least since I could drive myself.
Right.
Now I lived in a place where I didn't have a drive-in anywhere really close. My wife, grew up in Pueblo, which,
do they still have one? They had one the longest. They got rid of all the Colorado Springs ones before the Pueblo one. Pueblo.
Right. I'm not entirely sure if Pueblo still has one. I know. I think North Denver has one, but I digress. I don't know. Like, it just, I don't like eating in my car.
No?
I do. I'm not saying I don't, but I don't like it.
By proof of all the fast food bags in there, right?
Exactly. But I don't choose to do it. I only do it because I'm
just think
on
if you
go.
Could take your kids to the drive-in right now.
Let's sit next to them in a air-conditioned, climate-controlled movie theater.
But it costs less.
Now you might be onto something.
Right.
If it has the, because we're early adopters.
Right.
Through the when it comes to movies. I took my kids to see Guardians the yes. night it came out. I took my kids to see Superman versus Batman the night yeah. it came out.
Did you
out.
Go to Wonder Woman?
Haven't gone to Wonder Woman yet. There was another movie recently that we went the Thursday, not even Friday, the day it opened, the night when they have like two showings.
Yeah.
So the drive-in would have to have the latest.
Okay.
I had a movie theater mm-hmm. out in Lyman. That we had to show most of our movies like a month later. Like I don't wish
you
to
hate
go
that?
Back to yeah.
So I love the movie theater. I have a funny story. I do think that if you brought it back in an original way, I think it would be cool. But property values and everything. I mean, you would have to put it out in the pokey, so you could afford to do this.
Paul saying that the Mesa Drive-In in Pueblo is still open. Sound is through the car radio.
Yeah.
And they have three screens.
Oh, really?
If you could support three screens, I guess it's going pretty well for them.
So
we always want nostalgia, right? But I figure a drive-in with how knowing the movie business like I do.
Yeah, you don't want like to put that speaker on your window anymore.
The cost is so ridiculous from the studios for
even
these.
A month later, is it still expensive?
It's well, for a town of 2,000 people in one movie theater, yeah, it is. The cost is so exorbitant to bring in these movies. Yes, it is a little bit of greed when they jack up the concession prices,
right?
But I'm telling you, like, literally, that's the only way they make money. They come away dead if they come in even. After they pay the movie theater or the studio.
Do you know how much you're going to have to pay when the movie comes in? Like, you have to pay me X amount of dollars to have this movie for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I could tell you.
So you know exactly how much it is.
Yeah, I could tell you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I had to pay it when I had the theater out in Lyman. I had to pay that.
Were there movies that you brought in, you're like, this is going to kill it, so, and then, like, nobody came?
Yes. I had a lot of those times. Yeah, well, like, I could just tell you that by the time it made its way out to me, it was usually like somewhere between $250 and $500 against 35% of your box office. Whichever's higher, that's what you pay to the studio. That was for movies that have been out a
so
month.
So you had
to
write
to
checks
and
to
a half.
Like
Paramount and Disney and yeah. Then
this is interesting. It's the ugly right, underbelly of
right.
the movie business.
I don't care. I'm telling all, baby. but it could get as ridiculous as like $1,000 versus half of your box office. And think about that.
For like Star Wars or something?
For a movie that just comes out.
Oh, okay.
Now, I could tell you that Disney movies are always $500.
Okay.
Disney movies were always $500 against whatever percentage, and then the percentage was based on when I got it.
Right.
So, suffice to say that the cost is ridiculously prohibitive to get these movies from the studios. And that's why you get charged so much. To a point. That's what I charge $7 for adults, $5 for kids and seniors.
That's pretty fair.
And it was I raised the prices of a box of candy to $2, and I almost had a riot.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
For a box of candy, $2.
For a box,
they didn't want to pay $2.
One of those theater boxes of candy.
The ones you bought for a dollar.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, that is
right?
fair. It's just
100%
retail.
Markup.
Right.
Right.
That's
I had to pay for it.
Keystoning it. That's what everyone does.
Okay. Almost a riot. So anyway.
Did you have a dollar store right next to your theater?
Oh, I
have you ever kicked anyone out for bringing food in?
No.
Because I'll take my Burger King sneaky. Bag in there with me, and
well,
they don't
see,
even
people
say
aren't
no,
as blatant.
In my pocket.
I lived out in the eastern Colorado, the heartland of the America,
right,
where people were at least nice enough to hide it from you so you didn't know.
Like, I forget sometimes, but then I always buy popcorn. Like, I always support the box office anyway. Oh, this is interesting. Wow.
Yeah, so anyway, getting back to the whole drive-in thing.
Yeah.
I would figure that it would be very difficult to operate a drive-in movie theater because you are not 365.
And everyone brings their own food.
Very easy to sneak own food.
Yeah,
and
wouldn't
be hard. And the cost of getting a movie into your theater is ridiculous. So for a drive-in place, that all of that plus drive-ins to me are a novelty, not a consistent. I'd go to a drive-in.
I would go
a couple
during the summer,
year.
But not in the winter.